All right, thank you, Don. So here we are, worldwide live through BBS Radio online. Thank you so much for making this possible, BBS. I welcome all those people that are joining in online. This is a simulcast, as usual, with a conference call. We have a bunch of people on the phone line, and tonight we have a very special guest, Dr. Kathleen Rosenblatt, who will talk about what she knows on alternative healing.
Hello, hi.
Hello, Wynn. Good evening and welcome to the call.
Well, thank you very much.
All right, thank you for...
Is Kathleen here?
I think she's here. No, wait, she's not here. Hello, Terry.
Hi.
Kathleen is jumping on in a minute. This is Vaughn from Bel Air.
Hey, Vaughn, how you doing?
I'm well.
All right.
No,
this is Sedona Jim.
Hello, Sedona Jim.
Hi, Jim.
Hello, hi. Hello, Vaughn.
Hello.
Hello, it's Jim from Sedona.
Thank you for being here, Jim.
How you doing?
Yes, it's only the Wynn and Terry's ne'er-do-well.
Right.
Kathleen Rosenblatt.
Dr. Rosenblatt, thank you so much for being here. How are you?
Very well, Wynn, very well.
You may call me Gijs. I'm his little...
I can call you Gijs.
Kathleen, I don't have a Holland accent.
Oh, okay.
Hello, it's Dharmananda.
Hey, Dharmananda, welcome to the call.
Hello, Dharmananda.
Hey, how you doing? Hey. Hey, Wynn, are you going to go see Dave Wilcock this weekend?
No.
He's going to be in Sedona.
Well, who cares? It's a free country.
I thought it was a good first.
Well, just because I wrote a book about him doesn't mean I have to like him.
Well, he's got some pretty important news.
Okay, well, come to Sedona and see him.
What's the important news? Now you got me curious.
Got to pay to find that out.
Yeah, he's got a new blog on his website now after 10 weeks.
Okay, I'm going to mute everybody. Okay.
No more swear words.
All callers are muted.
There we go. Now, let me see. Do we have here, Kathleen, can you hear me?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I can.
And do we have here, Terry?
Yes.
No.
I heard a yes.
Okay, before I start the tape recorder, okay, you know, we just had this conversation about David Wilcock,
mm-hmm.
coming to Sedona, all right?
Mm-hmm.
And somebody said,
I heard,
Aren't you going to go see him? I'm not talking to you, Kathleen. I'm just telling the group who was listening to that.
Oh.
I want to tell you that David had a blog entry today, and this is not, I very rarely talk about it, but since he said something on his blog, he absolutely said something about me that was a lie. It was a lie. And he's done this many times, and I never address it. But I'm going to address it now since he said something publicly. He said that I roped him into getting the book published and that I snuck and got a publisher, and he didn't want to do it. And he was trying to sabotage it. And that is absolutely not true. David was working with me, collaborating with me every step of the way in getting that book published. And he was scared of getting it published, but he went through it, and he acknowledged it, and he thought it was a great book. And Terry was right next to me when I was doing all that. You want to verify that, Terry? Uh-oh, I must be lying.
No, I was on mute. I'm unmuted now.
Okay.
It's like I was right next to him, and I edited the book, and David himself edited the book. So we go through these various edits of the book, and David would say, change this, change that. And David wrote the third part of it and everything like that. And so I did transcriptions, typed them up of some of his things that he had put on tape, and we put them in the book. And
In any case, you know, I don't like to, usually I let things slide, and I don't talk about David, and I think the book is a great book, and I think the book is as important or more important than the things David does now, but he didn't want to be a channel. He wanted to be, you know, and I didn't have any problem with that. When the book came out, we went our separate ways, but it's kind of offensive to have him write something which is absolutely untrue on his blog and acting like I was sneaky or something, which I wasn't.
Is there something about the book that he doesn't like?
Well, it's almost like he's coming around now, and he had a picture of it on his blog, and he was said he was starting for the first time to do readings again.
No, actually, I think that what happened was David was putting himself out two ways, from the year 2000 to 2004. When I first was exposed to David, his website was filled with channelings, and the channelings were extremely wise, extremely, profound, and it was far more profound than David was at the time. David was like 27 years old, and I had studied his story, and I was convinced that he was Edgar Cayce. Mm-hmm. And in addition to putting out his channelings, he was also trying to back up the information of the fact that we were in a dimensional shift scientifically. And he was, you know, concurrently writing up things that were more logical, more, you know, documentable. Mm-hmm. And he was presenting, he was very uncomfortable going into the public and saying, I'm Edgar Cayce. And he was getting a huge amount of static for it. Huge. I mean, because in my opinion, he didn't know how to say it without it sounding like it was coming from his ego. And so people would attack him. So when the book came out, he decided he wanted to emphasize the scientific aspect of everything and put the channeling side on the back burner. Mm-hmm. And we went our separate ways. And when we went our separate ways, it was fine with me, except in various ways, he was trying to block me. He would say things that weren't true, even back then on his website, because it felt like he wished I was dead. That's how it felt like. Well, now that he wrote the book, I don't hear about him anymore. So
okay,
I don't let's not talk about. I don't like to hang laundry out in public. I really don't. And those of you who've been coming to my calls know that I never talk about this, and I still stand behind the book. And the book has nothing to do with David, except in talking about his life at the time that I wrote it. But most important, half the book are the channelings of the Ra group, and they're very wise, they're very helpful, and there's been testimonials on Amazon, like some of the most lucid and loving spiritual advice, wisdom, I ever read. Mm-hmm. And that's pretty good. A lot of things like that.
Right.
And you know, the book was very much instrumental in a lot of people paying attention to David and saying, who is this guy that thinks he's Edgar Casey? And I'm sure the great amount of attention is being paid to him now. And I'm fine with that. You know, I'm fine for David to do what he does. It's just that it's offensive for me to go, you know, for all that we talk about with integrity and going into a new world, to have him say something which is totally untrue on his blog this many years later. And he knows it's untrue. He knows it.
Okay. Well, let's just let him do his thing. And
thank you.
Get
thank
on with
you,
our
Kathleen.
Conversation.
Sorry to bring this up. Okay, let me start.
This conference is being recorded.
This is July 10th, 2014.
Is it July
10th? No, it is. It's August 27th.
Nope.
I was looking. I was looking
me to death.
We're getting closer.
This is what I get for talking about David.
We're getting closer.
Getting closer, yeah.
This is
October. A few more months.
This is October 27th, 2014. Kathleen Rose, can I call you Kathleen?
Yes, Dr. Kathleen Rosenblatt.
I should call you Dr. Kathleen Rosenblatt?
Well, you can't. Yeah.
Or should I call you Dr. Rosenblatt? Or should I call
Dr.
you
Kathleen? Dr. Kathleen Rosenblatt was great.
Say all three words, right?
Yes, sure.
Okay. Even when we're in conversational terms, I can say
well,
Dr.
no,
Kathleen
when you're talking to me, you can say Kathleen, but just to introduce
that's what I meant.
Me.
That's what I meant. Yeah. I'd like to introduce you to Dr. Kathleen Rosenblatt. And she's going to help me with brain fog so I can remember the date. And Kathleen is a pioneer in alternative health in this country. She is the person that opened the first acupuncture clinic in the United States in UCLA. In what year was that?
1973.
And then you actually opened up a school, and we're training acupuncturists.
That's
five
right.
Schools.
That's right. We, first in Boston, and then in California, and a branch in Tel Aviv.
Well, and I don't usually interview people. Usually, when I get spaced out, suddenly we start to channel. So let me say, and she is gone to some of the finest schools on the planet. Isn't that true, Kathleen?
Well,
I can say Kathleen, but Sorbonne.
Sorbonne,
And where else?
Well, I went to the University of Quito for a summer, and University of Connecticut for my graduate school work. And the Hong Kong College of Acupuncture.
Wow. Okay, so you have worked with thousands of people, right?
Yes, I have.
And you have not limited your knowledge to you're a doctor of Oriental medicine, and you're also an acupuncturist, but you have studied everything, vitamin therapy, modern healing tools, right?
That's correct, yes. You know, I've studied different religions, and you know, and they have all kinds of traditions of healing as well, the Hindu tradition,
right.
Ayurvedic.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Curanderos in Mexico. Carlos Castaneda. I worked with Carlos Castaneda directly.
You did?
Yes, I had him for dinner at my house.
He really. We could have another talk about that. he really existed, right?
Oh yes, yes. We were meeting with him two or three times a week for a while.
When was this?
This was in like 86, 87. I mean, I've met him through the years, but that was a period where we were working more directly and intensely. Intensively.
I was a big fan of his. I was in Berkeley. That was the school he was in. Isn't that correct? Anthropology?
Yes, that's right.
In Berkeley? Right, right.
Well, also at UCLA.
And UCLA, right. For those of you that aren't aware, Carlos Castaneda was an anthropology student who went to Mexico to study the Yaqui Indians, and he ended up getting, I think initiated is the right word, or becoming the student of a Yaqui Indian medicine man, and he ended up writing 5 or 6 books about it, and became very, very popular in the 70s, I think it was.
Yes, 70s and 80s.
So one of the people that I read probably all of his books, of course, at this point, I forget most of it, except I remember funny birds flying around. So that's the image that comes to mind. But they would have all kinds of shamanic experiences. They were doing different psychedelic mushrooms and drugs,
yes.
Not drugs, but natural things.
Yeah.
And I'm not recommending that today, but nonetheless.
That was a few years of my past, but most of it I've focused on acupuncture and a lot of massage, and I also use a pulsed electromagnetic field stimulator, which is quite amazing.
Mm-hmm.
It regenerates cell tissue by cleaning up the cell membrane, which is the brain of the cell, because our cell membrane gets caramelized with sugars and proteins. And so this helps to clear that out so that things can get in and get out again, which is the bottom line for aging and pathology, is that, you know, the nutrients can't get in and the toxins can't get out, and that's why we look crusty. Our cells get crusty, and we start to look and feel crusty.
Is that gadget that you did on Terry and I when we were at Vaughn's House?
Yes, yes. It's a $20,000 machine and instrument, and it's, I've had just amazing results with it, especially with things like peripheral neuropathy, things that are considered very, very hard to treat. And I've had miraculous effects with that. Sometimes one treatment alone made huge, huge changes. I also was able to treat a paralyzed dog, and he was walking after 5 treatments. After the second treatment, he was able to stand, and then after 5 treatments, he was walking.
Wow. Do you know, believe it or not, it's amazing you brought that up, because there's a person that's a regular on our calls who has neuropathy, and she is bedridden, and she's a real sweetheart. And I called her, especially before this call, and I told her, I won't say her name, I said, send me a question about neuropathy, and I will be sure to ask it. And you know what? She didn't send me a question, but we did it anyway.
Well, maybe she's listening.
She's probably listening, and she's probably saying, "I hope he doesn't say his name. If you know my name, he's going to embarrass me." But do they have people that have this device all over the country, or is it very rare?
You know, my colleague who manufactures them has sold them in the Middle East, Dubai. One of the sheiks bought 5 of them for his racehorses, and he sells them very big in Germany and in Europe in general. And he has sold them in this country, too, but because they're $20,000, you know, there's a limited market. He sold them to, you know, a lot of physicians and chiropractors and acupuncturists. I recently treated a woman with multiple sclerosis, and in the very first treatment, she improved in 5 different categories, much less depression, able to raise her arms above her head for the first time in 9 years, able to keep her foot on her lap to take her, put her sock on, because normally her foot would just spit out. You know, it was so spastic. It would never stay up on her lap, so now it's been a bit much more flexible. And then she had much improvement with urination and elimination. You know, suddenly she had control of her bowels and control of the urine. And so this was one treatment. I mean, it was just wonderful to see so many changes.
Was she paralyzed, or was she partially paralyzed?
She still has a very hard time walking. Her legs are so mm-hmm. spastic that they just don't even want mm-hmm. to move forward. She was recently had a bad experience with a deranged homeless man that really frightened her. I mean, he threw her dog, he threw her cane down and was really in her face. And so that set her back quite a bit before she came to me. So her symptoms had been worsened, but mm-hmm. we're making progress. But to see that much progress in one treatment was marvelous.
Mm-hmm. I ask because there's another person that comes to our lines pretty regularly that has MS, who lives mm-hmm. in Phoenix. The person with neuropathy lives in Michigan, okay?
I see.
So it's not easy to get them to your door.
Right.
But
well, it's called PEMF. Now, there are other brands, but it's basically a pulsed electromagnetic field stimulator. So it might be under another mm-hmm. name, but those people mm-hmm. could contact me at brainbodybliss.com, and I could let them know, because there are people out there, you know, who are sales personnel that can maybe get, you know, find someone in their community who has one.
Mm-hmm. They probably sold a few around the country, huh?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know what? While we're talking to Dr. Rosenblatt, if those of you that would like me to ask her, like, what you can do for your condition, you just learned something that probably it's not easy for most of you to do, but there's so many modalities and healing things that she has access to, and that I would ask her on this call, and you might get a key for something that could really, really shift your life, make you healthy. I know, Kathleen, one thing that everybody's on everybody's mind right now is building your immune system. We're getting all these scares from Ebola, and I'm not sure if it's a legitimate threat or if they're going to superimpose it or it's just a false flag, but I would take it seriously anyway and prepare ourselves, because I've read, and I believe it's true, that when your immune system is strong, you just don't succumb to things like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I was younger, then I used to get a flu every season. I'd be knocked out for 5 days, 10 days, maybe twice a season.
Mm-hmm.
And when I lived in L.A., I was having that happen to me, and I used to go to the Emperor College, which is an acupuncture school, mm-hmm. that they let their students treat you. Because I didn't
right.
know Kathleen.
No,
you were there. How come I didn't know you?
Well, the head of that school used to work for our school, and then he branched off and started his own.
Oh, is that right? Okay.
Yes.
Well, in any case, I knew that every time I got sick, and if I got a acupuncture treatment, which I believe cost like $25 at the time, I would not have a 5 or 10 day in bed situation.
Mm-hmm.
I would be up and running in 24 hours.
Uh-huh.
And of course, what acupuncture does, you know what? I'm not going to answer that. Kathleen, what does acupuncture do?
Well, acupuncture is dealing with the electromagnetic fields of the body. And these fields are organized in patterns. And so we have these meridians that are kind of like the main circuits, you know, like just like in our house, we have the main wires and then the peripheral wires. And these meridians have all the qualities of a laser beam, exactly like a laser beam. And when we're born, we're, you know, more or less just like a battery. We have, you know, a meridian running down the center of our body and one down the back. And they kind of, one starts at the mouth, one starts at the rectum. So, because we're just kind of like a tube when we're first born. We just have this digestive thing, like a one-celled platyhelminth. It's just, you know, it's a one-celled body, just has the digestive tract, and that's it. And that's how we start. But then there's this energy between these two plus and minus poles, then sets up these frequencies in between, which in India they call chakras. And a chakra means a spinning wheel. And so these are like these spinning wheels of energy right down our middle that then fleshes out into organs and creates a body. But we start out as this energy field with these meridians and these electrical wirings. So that's still there. So even though we have all these other wonderful systems, our nervous system, which is very close to these meridians, because, you know, we know our nerves are electrical as well. We have EEGs and EKGs, which measure the electrical activity of the brain and the heart. But it's also electromagnetic. So these meridians are simply the extensions, and they connect to all the various organs. So we have a large intestine meridian, a liver meridian, a kidney meridian, et cetera, et cetera. And these meridians come up to the surface of the skin, so there we have access to them. So our acupuncture points are along the skin. But these meridians then go down into our system and connect some of the organs with each other, so that there's an amazing science with acupuncture where these organs interact in a very particular way that is unknown to Western medicine, but it really holds up so that you can, if one organ is deficient and one is excessive, let's say you have heartburn, so you have too much heat in the stomach and you know the digestion, and then the organ that is fed by it is the lungs and large intestine, and they're deficient. So there's certain points that will pull the excess from the stomach, heartburn, and send it to the lungs where it's needed, or the intestines where it's needed. So you've killed two birds with one stone that way. You've gotten rid of the heartburn, and now you've strengthened the lungs, and you've strengthened the intestines. So that's an example of the science of acupuncture, how it understands certain interactions that are unknown to Western doctors.
Now, let me ask a question. The meridians are not physical, are they?
Well, they're as physical as microorganisms in our body. They're as physical, just because they can't be measured by the usual measures doesn't mean they don't exist. It's like we know that atoms exist.
I don't mean that they don't exist, but what I mean, unlike the nervous system, which, you know, you can find nerves, you can measure them, you can look at them through a microscope, there's a system of energies that run through our body that this group does not have any problem with invisible energies that run through.
Yeah, these are just finer than nerves. So if we can see a nerve under a super microscope, we need even a more powerful measure to measure these energies. But they're definitely there.
Well, right, right. No, I'm not challenging that they're there. I'm just thinking that I'm hypothesizing here. We know the whole universe is really meridians and energies that interlink, and that the Earth definitely has meridians and power points, and people have drawn maps of it. It seems to me, just conjecturing, that your meridian system in your body is what allows the universe to flow through you.
Absolutely.
That's one way of saying it. And when the meridians get blocked, then your energy gets blocked, and you feel empty inside.
That's right.
Right?
Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a point on the very top of the head that's called the meeting of 100 pathways. Sometimes it's called the meeting of the 1,000 pathways. And this is where energy comes in from the sun and all the other suns and comes into your body. So it's thousands of lines of energy, of rays of energy. But then as soon as it goes through your head, then it disperses through 1,000 lines of energy all through your body. So it's kind of like a little funnel point.
So it's a complex system in your body that links you to the energy of the universe.
Mm-hmm.
Or, the cosmic flows.
That's right.
And when it gets blocked, then the energy doesn't flow in that area of your body, and you can get depressed, you can get sick, you can even have serious organ dysfunction. I'm going to ask Kathleen to verify that's true, because I don't know. That's what I think. And that acupuncture can shift that. Mm-hmm. And I've experienced that. I've experienced when I did the acupuncture that I was full of energy afterwards. And
yes.
I had depression. If I was depressed, the depression would go away. Mm-hmm. And what causes people's meridians to get blocked?
Life. Just,
right.
You know, aging. Everything. Stress is the main culprit because in the middle of our sternum, basically, our heart area is where we collect all our emotions, all our little dramas.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of it being what it's called, which is a solar plexus, which means there should be a sun bursting and radiating out from our center there, from our diaphragm. But instead of it being a sun radiating out, it becomes a television running an old soap opera. The story
right.
of my life, and I'm the heroine of my novel and my soap opera, and I remember every event, especially the nasty ones, the ones that hurt me. You know, what my parents did to me and my siblings and my first broken heart and what my professor did to embarrass me and my boss and now what my kids are doing and my husband and all these chapters, and especially as women, we are so programmed to hang on to every emotional thing. And, of course, our Western culture is all based on drama. You know, everything has to be a conflict, and we pay money to watch the most horrible situations. I don't, but everyone around me does, you know, just sit and watch the most horrible stories for entertainment purposes. So we're totally obsessed with ugly, horrible stories, or at least dramas and broken hearts and love stories. So we certainly apply that to ourselves. We have every right to, since everything has programmed us to do that. So we walk around with this box, this TV, and eventually it cuts us in half, literally, so that we're so blocked by this emotional, you know, history that then our body no longer gets to flow. These energy meridians no longer really function so well. And our bottom half gets cold, and our top half gets too hot. Because as in a room, heat rises, and so in our body, heat rises. And after enough years go by, decades go by, suddenly we have cold feet, varicose veins, cold low back, you know, frigidity, you know, erectile dysfunction, who knows, all the problems. And then on the top half, we have a hot head, we have headaches, we have ringing in the ears. So much energy is coming upwards that it starts setting off these little hairs in our ear and they're ringing. Tight neck, heartburn, you know, lung congestion, tight shoulders. So all these cold symptoms on the bottom and heat symptoms on the top. And what is the thing that's cut it in half is our emotional life. So that's that story. Now, as an acupuncturist, I don't just work on the physical things. I try to work on the emotional. And as a result, I've become kind of a specialist in anxiety and depression. Because my background wasn't just acupuncture. I was a French major, and my subject was a very metaphysical, spiritual French writer named René Daumal, D-A-U-M-A-L. And he in turn was very, very spiritual and had studied Sanskrit and studied the ancient texts and was a great student of Gurdjieff, who's a great spiritual teacher, who's really been my spiritual teacher for 40 years. And so I was imbued with a lot of spiritual traditions. As a kid, I was raised Catholic. I really wanted to be a nun. I've studied the Taoist tradition and the Buddhist and the Hindu and Zen, and so I've learned so much from these traditions about how important it is to be centered and mindful and how you can let go of all this attachment to drama and misery and, you know, egoism that really brings so much suffering. So I've become, while I'm working on the headaches and the backaches and the colitis or whatever else is going on, I also really spend a lot of time working on the emotions. I get serious, you know, suicidal patients now and people with really severe distress, and I've had great results. And as a result of this, go ahead.
With acupuncture.
With acupuncture, but with also the verbal thing that I've developed. And mm-hmm. because of that, I finally made some CDs that I share with people that really, I call it cellular meditation, because it's all about meditating throughout the whole body and getting all the brains of the body working and high, literally high, because in every cell of our body, we have all these natural opiates that we produce in our body. And we have 100 receptor sites in every cell, and we have about 70 trillion cells. So that's like mm-hmm. 700 trillion, you know, receptor sites for feel-good endorphins and opiates and even cannabinoids, all kinds of things that we can produce ourselves. So we should have a baseline of well-being that is much more advanced and much more high and happy than most of us are, because it's been mm-hmm. so suppressed by the whole Judeo-Christian tradition and other traditions all around the planet. For some reason, they just really didn't want us to be very happy, you know, because you know, when you look at other cultures, what they do to the women and to the people, it's even worse. So it's hard to understand earthlings.
I can tell you're from another dimension. But I wanted to bring up something, and that is, I know that a lot of people have trauma in their body. Women have been abused. People have been misused by their parents, and
yes.
they carry.
And it crosses generations.
They carry patterns of energy flows in their body. The sins mm-hmm. of the parents are visited upon the children. So
that's
they don't
right.
like to use sins because the parents are not doing it because they're sinning. They don't know any better. Mm-hmm. But it all translates into blockages of energy flow from these meridians, correct?
That's correct. And it is transgenerational because we inherit the genes of our parents, but the genes in the DNA in our mitochondria, we mm-hmm. can affect. In other words, that was, mm-hmm. you know, what our parents thought and what they ate and their experiences, we now inherit that. So some of the wounds from pogroms and potato famines, but we can affect that by what we think and eat and do. In other words, mm-hmm. it's not irreversible. We can turn these things around.
Mm-hmm. And I imagine we started out talking about the immune system, that when you have all these blockages in your body, you don't assimilate food properly, you're hyper, you have all kinds of imbalances, and acupuncture is maybe one of the most powerful tools for an immediate balancing of your energies.
That's right.
I'm saying that from my experience, from mm-hmm. from the time that I have had it on myself,
uh-huh.
and from your experience. Now, one thing I know is that oftentimes you can do something like that. You can balance your energies externally through a treatment, but usually the old pattern comes back because the pattern is usually deep inside you, but if you keep doing these treatments, you can kind of beat it after a time.
That's
is that
right.
your experience?
That's right, because anything like this we have to repeat. I mean, I often see dramatic results in one treatment, but some things do need to be reinforced, because it's like getting mm-hmm. your body out of one rut and getting it into a new, good rut.
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, for people that are listening, they think of, oh, my God, they're going to put needles in me, and that's, like, scary. But it really doesn't hurt. You hardly feel a thing when it's
absolutely
happening,
the case.
Right?
I was such a baby about needles my whole life as a kid. I was so afraid of them, and I'd cry, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, the needles has completely cured me of that, especially because they're nothing like an injection. You know, an injection is always hollow. It always gouges out a little bit of your flesh. These things are so fine that they go between the pores, and they go in so fast that there's no time to go up to the brain and come back and say, ouch, which is what happens when mm-hmm. when you stub your toe. It doesn't hurt immediately. It's that 1-2 pound, and then, oh, my God, it hurts. But this doesn't do it. It goes in so fast, there's no messaging. So often my patients won't even know that I've inserted a needle. I mean, I'll put in seven mm-hmm. needles, and they'll say, well, when are you going to start? And not even a sensation was felt, you know, so.
Mm-hmm. Now, for those of you that are listening, if you're in Los Angeles, Kathleen has an office there. But most of the people on our call are all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
How do you find a good acupuncture? I mean, let's put it this way. Are there good and bad acupuncturists?
I haven't heard of too many bad ones. I think that it's the only way you could maybe have a criterion is to see how many things they have up their sleeve. In other words, I think you can get a perfectly good acupuncturist who only does needles, but I feel a little more secure as an acupuncturist if I have different things for different people. Like some people really mm-hmm. respond to massage. Others really need the electrostim. Others need the herbs. And so I like to know, you know, does he do the moxibustion, the heating? Does he have an infrared lamp, as I do? So I like to, you know, if I have no other criterion, then I say to the person, ask if they do with these other things.
Mm-hmm.
Just to...
Okay. And women that have had sexual abuse, and I know you worked with veterans who had post-war trauma, right?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And did you work with them with, you did them with acupuncture and
acupuncture and with my CDs. In other words, when I made these CDs, yeah. I made them for everybody, but then I made a special version for veterans with post-traumatic stress. And I've mm-hmm. lectured twice at the Combat Stress Conference, and it was very well received because when I did the PowerPoint presentation, they could see that there was real science behind this, that the acupuncture mm-hmm. really, you know, you can do acupuncture on the ear, and the ear is an outcropping of the brain. So by treating the ear, it's as if it's like a keyboard for, you know, processing into the brain. And, you know, the brain is really part of, the ear is part of the brain. So we've had a whole tradition of just using the ear alone for treating any part of the body. But it's particularly mm-hmm. good for emotions and addictions, for stopping smoking and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I would use that on the veterans, along with having them listen to my CD.
I happen to see that Graham Nash discovered you and backed you on some.
Yes, yes, he has a tremendous interest in veterans' issues, and he's very much mm-hmm. against war. But he really likes to help the veterans. And so this was a wonderful thing that he contributed to my project with veterans and made a lot possible.
You know, in case you guys don't know who Graham Nash is, if you heard of the band Crosby, Stills, and Nash, that's Graham Nash, okay?
Yes, yes. I urge people to catch their act. They're not going to go on forever, even though it seems like they already have gone on forever. They are in better voice than ever. I just heard them recently, and they were just incredible. Their voices are just beyond, and they're so gutsy as well as heavenly, ethereal at the same time. You know, very political and yet very, oh, just, you know, another other dimension.
Is Graham Nash still alive? I don't think
they're all three alive. Crosby, Stills, and Nash are on tour. They're touring.
Okay.
I just saw them at the Greek Theater. And Graham looks better with white hair than he did with mm-hmm. brown hair. He looks fabulous.
Mm-hmm. By the way,
he's 70.
Those of you that got my email today saw a picture of Kathleen. And on her website, she said how old she was.
I did?
And, yes, you did. You better go ahead.
I must have been sleeping.
Should I not tell?
Oh, sure. I don't care. It's fine. It's
don't
a good advertisement. I'm a nice, healthy...
67-year-old. 67?
Yes.
Was mm-hmm. right? And she looks like she's 40, okay? And beautiful and angelic. And, you know, Kathleen doesn't know all the work we do. She doesn't know about the Elohim, but she studied metaphysics.
Yes, I do.
And
we've talked about that, but you don't
yeah,
remember.
Yeah, we did. Yeah, I do. I remember. You got mad at me then, so I figured you didn't take anything in.
I what? I don't remember that.
About it. Well, over over at Vaughn's, the first time we met, I totally monopolized the conversation.
But I didn't get mad at you. Everyone else did.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, at least Terry didn't monopolize the conversation. But in any case, she really knows her stuff. I know she knows it. And I thought I would, just quickly, you know, I was going to have people email me and give their maladies, but I think we'll say that if you guys are interested and you want, and some of you have problems, Kathleen is willing to do a Saturday workshop for a few hours and get individual counseling, and you know that everyone will hear. It won't be private. We'll record it so other people can access it and maybe find ways that you didn't even know existed. I'm learning right now. I've had acupuncture, but suddenly now I really grasp it, and I'm thinking it's not that expensive for acupuncture, and that it's widespread enough right now that there's probably someone that does acupuncture driving distance from everyone on this call, wherever you are. But I wanted to just say some of the maladies, the diseases that many people have, and have Kathleen make a quick comment about her experience with it and what worked with that. If there was an herb that worked, you know, if this is not the same as an individual diagnosis and somebody working with you.
Right.
So, but you probably, if you tried one of these things, it's probably not going to have bad effects, mm-hmm. and it could potentially solve your problem. So whether it's acupuncture, whether it's Chinese herbs, whether it's mega doses of vitamins, particularly things that people can do without having to come to L.A. and use your machine, okay?
So, and Wynn, I'd like to just insert that I am giving an actual workshop on Sunday here in Los Angeles at the Village Church. It's at 1:30 on Sunday, just for those listeners that are in L.A., if they'd like to come. It's a small $20 donation, and it's a three-hour workshop at this Village Church, which is on Church Lane, just off of Sunset Boulevard and the 405 freeway.
Okay.
So if there's anyone that...
They can, is the information about that on your website?
Yes, on Brain Body Bliss.
Brain
Body Bliss.
The
name of my website.
No spaces, no dashes, just
that's
one
right,
word,
just
right?
That's right, just brainbodybliss.com,
okay.
And they can learn about that.
So let me just name some things. Arthritis.
So the idea is we want those minerals, but we don't want them to sit on our bones. We want them to go in our bones. So how can we stimulate our assimilation, our digestion, so we can digest minerals and they don't go to the bad places? How can we keep our joints flexible so that we don't get all this buildup in our joints? So certainly exercise is important. And watching what we eat, trying to have a non-inflammatory diet. And unfortunately, what they've done to our wheat at this point is so noxious that all these good things like bread, suddenly bread has to become a bad thing. But we have to go to the diet. We have to go to exercise. And then we have to watch our thoughts, because our thoughts are chemicals.
Mm-hmm.
And when we keep thinking bad
mm-hmm.
thoughts, we're draining the adrenals and the cortisol, which
mm-hmm.
we need. And so then we're not getting the chemicals that we need from the good thoughts, which is the endorphins and the serotonin. And every cell of our body rejoices and celebrates when we have the happy thoughts, and that includes our joints, our bones, our tendons, our ligaments. And so we have to work from the center to affect the periphery. You know, so all
mm-hmm.
of what I just said is important, but acupuncture can work on the joints, and I can open up the joints. You know, they get so blocked, and this PMF machine is miraculous at that job. It just immediately gets things moving, so that after 3 minutes, most people notice that, oh, my knee is looser. Oh, yeah, my shoulder, right. Wow, it's loose. It immediately mm-hmm. gets the fluids flowing, the bad fluids, mm-hmm. the good fluids, getting them moving. So there's lots of ways to attack arthritis from the center, from the digestion, all the way out to the periphery.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay,
how
next.
How about ADD?
ADD. Again, it's a lot to do, you know, certainly some people can have chemistry that's off a little bit, but so much of it has to do with diet and stimulation. You know, young people that have, you know, this attention deficit, you know, their diets have not been good as children. They've eaten a lot of junk food. They have way too much stimulation so that they've not been taught how to focus. They, you know, it should be a natural joy to focus. We shouldn't have to be even taught, really. I mean, mm-hmm. yes, we're stimulated by everything, but we should be naturally drawn to certain things. But now kids have so much hyperstimulation that they can't focus on anything. We're all ADD now, just given the way our culture mm-hmm. is. I mean, we're mm-hmm. all walking robots, and I've just watched an amazing program on C-SPAN book TV, or was it UCTV? I love both of these things. And they're talking about tech addiction and watching machines all the time. Kids are not doing any rough and tumble sports. They're not learning their physical limitations. They're not learning empathy. Because they're looking at a little machine all day long. They're looking at a little screen, mm-hmm. and that starts to rewire your brain totally differently. So now the ADD is off the charts. There's just so many things. But I do treat it. I treat it with, I don't like to use needles on children. I don't want them to have any issues there, even though they don't hurt, but still. But there's all kinds of ways of treating them. And also there's really good herbal formulas. Herbal formulas that are natural, that don't have any side effects, that don't just block them and shut them down like Ritalin, but really stimulates their brains to just function better. So, mm-hmm. you know, it's a tough area, but there are lots of answers.
Let's try another one. How about...
Okay.
I'm asking this because I know somebody that has this, and they're probably listening. I won't say who they are. Erectile dysfunction.
Well, again, there, it's a lot to do with opening up all the channels. We want to mm-hmm. open up the emotional channels so that the flow of energy from the top of the body to the bottom of the body can really flow well. As we get older, our lower, you know, the body has three energy centers, the lungs, the combustion of energy in the lungs, and the stomach, the combustion of energy, which is calories, and then the whole urogenital system is the combustion of energy to either create a child or to become a monk, you know, just to meditate from your lower area there. So this area can often is the one that cools down. Remember I talked about how heat rises in the body. So often people that have that problem will also have heart, have high blood pressure, like too much energy at the top of the body and not enough at the lower part of the body. So martial mm-hmm. arts, for instance, are very good for that, where you're learning to strengthen the lower part. You want to sink down into your lower mm-hmm. chakras and make that strong again. So there's so many ways of strengthening that whole urogenital system. And certainly getting rid of stress, which whatever that takes, and usually, you know, my kind of meditation is fun. It's not so hard as trying to focus your mind. This way, you're putting your mind on the sensation of your emotion, the sensation of your breath, really blowing mm-hmm. it out, blowing it through all the channels, so that you're breaking open these blockages that have started to accumulate, and so that you can mm-hmm. get that energy down to the urogenital system and make it strong again and really feel the energy. And sexual energy, you want to feel all through your body. It's not just about this one little section of the body. It's all about getting it going everywhere. And 2 years ago, mm-hmm. I gave a talk at the Conscious Life Expo called Health for Sex, Sex for Health. And I actually just have a blog coming out tomorrow morning on that subject, because I will certainly talk about those issues in my workshop on Sunday. And so we can't just think about, oh, erection. We have to think about the energy and the joy and the pleasure of just being alive. And then that makes you you know, much more accessible to sexual energy when you're already feeling good about yourself, mm-hmm. feeling good about, you know, your partner and the world. And that is a lot more conducive than worrying about performance, anxiety, and all these other things that can be layered into the problem. Because is it mm-hmm. physiological? Is it mental? Is it emotional? It's all those things. You know, once you've got the problem, now you're going to have, you know, weird fears and worries. And so it's a question of just, like, letting it all go and just getting down to the basics and just, you know, let that energy flow through your body.
I would imagine that good sex also helps your meridian flow.
Absolutely.
Tremendously.
Yeah.
You know?
And good sex is good for everything, for the prostate, for heart, blood pressure, for cancer. The list of things that sex will help is amazing. But, of course, there are also very good herbs, and the herbs become important after about the age of 40 or 50 or 60. We really need those Chinese tonics, and they understood about longevity and about helping the older generation. They have the most amazing tonics that are just great. You know, forget coffee. This stuff is really strengthens your adrenals and, you know, it doesn't just jack you up, but really gives you this really strong energy from below that really builds.
I don't know if jack you off was the right terminology.
I said jack you up.
Oh, jack you up. Okay.
If I jack up a car.
What is a good Chinese herb for that?
Well, certainly the most famous one is ginseng, but there's really lots of herbs. When I look at the tonic, it'll have like 16 herbs in there. And they have had 4,000 years to develop these formulas so that they really work together very well. And
okay.
I have a company that I love that I just, you know, I'm using these herbal formulas for everything.
Mm-hmm. And neuropathy.
All right,
I know
neuropathy.
You talked about your machine, but if somebody can't use your machine, is acupuncture helpful for neuropathy?
Definitely helpful. The machine has just blown my mind with it, with neuropathy, but I worked on neuropathy before I had the machine and had, you know, I saw improvements. I didn't see the dramatic changes, like two people that got better in one treatment, each of them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's pretty unusual. But definitely acupuncture would help.
Okay. You know, we're at the end of our time, and we could go on and on and on, and Kathleen, I love your passion for your work.
Thank you. It is exciting.
It's wonderful to hear somebody that's so passionate about what they're doing and who has helped so many people with their health.
Yes.
Let's say if somebody wanted to call you and have a personal consultation, you can do that, right?
That's absolutely correct. And I do that often.
And it's not that expensive, as I recall.
That's right. It's on my website. If they just go to Brain Body Bliss, they can get through.
And her phone number's there. And she picks up her phone, and it's like you can hear how expansive she is in her knowledge of all this stuff. And those of you that are interested, and if you email me, if enough people email me, we'll do a three-hour session on Saturday, and we'll just focus on letting you ask questions